just felt really uncomfortable. And I can still picture this today. And I open my eyes and I sat up, and directly in front, I'm going like pale thinking about this still. Directly in front of me was a spirit girl, it's the best way I can describe it, with red wavy hair and the whitest face I've ever seen in my life. It was like, I've never been that afraid in my life. That was, I can't even describe the terror.
All the way from up the road in sunny Hunstanton, he recently reached out to me on social media to let me know that he has some stories to share with us today. So hello, Damien, and welcome to the show. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what keeps you busy?
Hi, thanks for having me on to start with. Excited to be on. So I'm an author and a musician. What keeps me busy is anything creative, really. So released my first book a couple of years ago. And we've kind of been milking that now for a few years. I'm busy writing music as well, working with artists. And I go out and do a bit of cover work once in a while as well to pay the bills. And that kind of takes up the majority of my time.
So I'm aware of your book. Obviously, we're friends on social media and stuff, so I see you posted about it. But for people listening that may be interested in having a look, let everyone know about your book.
So it's called The Cheese Miner on the Moon. It is a space-themed children's action adventure book aimed at kids who are 6 to 11 years old. So whilst it's kind of a fun kind of space adventure, it also carries a really positive message on the way we treat our planet and the importance of looking after our... I'll send you a copy over, mate. You've had a kid, haven't you, recently? So
yeah, mate, she's 1 year old nearly, so she'll be waiting a while to read it. Loves books, man. Have you always believed in the paranormal, or was this something that happened in later life?
I always had not just a belief, but an interest in it for some reason. And I, even as a kid, I don't know where that stemmed from. But I've been watching, I remember I used to go, you know, my parents are divorced, go visit my dad's. And at 6, 7 years old, I was watching horror films. And they never really scared me too much. I don't know if I'm disturbed now, but there's always been some kind of an interest and belief in it. But then I believe in a lot of things. I believe in life on other planets, you know, paranormal. I'm quite a spiritual person as well. I've kind of gone that way recently. So it's just one of those things that I think there's a lot more out there that we can't see and that we don't know about, like an unseen world within this world.
I can totally relate to what you just said. I remember watching The Exorcist. I think I was about 11 years old, which is not a good age to watch The Exorcist, especially the scene where she's on the bed doing something she shouldn't be doing with a cross.
Yeah, that was savage. Like that is one of those films that's quite disturbing. And what I love about that is it's true, based on a true story. And I had quite a religious upbringing. So I was brought, I mean, from the age of 8 or 9, my parents are missionaries. And we grew up in what others might view as like a cult, but it was like a big complex. And the story was, when we were kids, before they moved into this place, it was in Buckinghamshire. There was caves there and all sorts, and it had a history of witchcraft. The whole place had to be cleansed before this Christian organization came in. So I think, I guess from a young age, no one's really discouraged me from believing in anything paranormal or otherworldly.
Sounds like from an early age, you've had your eyes open to spirituality and more than just, you know, most people do nowadays, where, because, you know, religion's not huge in the Western world anymore.
No.
Definitely not as much as it used to be. So yeah, did your parents always kind of believe in spirits and things like that?
It's more they had a belief in God. My mum and my stepdad had more of a belief in God. So I was kind of brought up to belief in that. And I've kind of now morphed into more spiritualism, believing in some kind of entity, in some kind of God, but not a man in the clouds. And I kind of don't agree with, you know, the church and what the church do. I think religion has been a little bit twisted by humans over the last few centuries or millennium. And, you know, there's a lot more to it than what we're taught now.
You mentioned that you believe not just in ghosts, you believe in other supernatural phenomena as well. Have you had any other experiences? Have you seen any UFOs or anything like that?
Do you know what? I never have seen a UFO. I mean, I went to Ibiza once and I thought I saw a UFO until I woke up the next morning. Probably wasn't a UFO. But yeah, I've never seen anything. My mum said she saw one. So when we were in Manchester, when I was a kid, my mum swore she saw a UFO come down over the houses. And there was other people that sighted it in the area. But kind of my belief in aliens is the universe is so... We call them aliens, and that's what we're taught to call them by, you know, the movies and media and press and everything else. But the universe is so vast, so huge. There are so many planets like ours, you know, billions of planets like Earth. It's almost impossible for there not to be life out there. I always explain it that if we went to, this is how narrow-minded people can be. If you went and looked at a goldfish in a goldfish bowl, and you'd assume he thought he was the only goldfish in existence, but there are, you know, there are seas, there are rivers, there are ponds, and there are so many different species of kind of sea life out there and pond life. And that's how some humans can be. They're so narrow-minded. They're a goldfish in that bowl, thinking that we're the only life out there. But we are here proof that there is life on planets. So I think it's very unlikely that there isn't life out there. And I've always felt very much at home looking up at the stars.
Everyone's heard that there's more planets in our solar system or in the universe than there are grains of sand, which is absolutely crazy. So yeah, you certainly do have to be such a closed-minded person to think that we are the only things that exist in this solar system or universe, you know what I mean?
It's impossible, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's, for us to be the only ones is impossible.
Do you believe in things like quantum physics, quantum leaping, everything like that?
I have not looked into it enough. It's one of those, there are so many beliefs I have and so many interests I have. I am not the most intelligent person in the world. Some things just blow my mind to the point I just can't get a grasp on it, but it does certainly interest me.
Yeah, that's one thing I guess I got into over lockdown. I always found myself, I struggled a lot like with the kind of upbringing I had. I struggled a lot with like my mental health. And one thing I found throughout lockdown was, you know, I found the book, The Secret, which is a bit cheesy and cringy, but to be honest, for me personally, it massively changed my life and it changed my outlook on life and made me such a more positive person. And then I got into looking into, so this is all to do with quantum. Same as you, man, I'm not intelligent at all. So I've no idea what I'm even talking about half the time. And I got into like this manifestation stuff.
I'm so into that at the moment. Like, carry on. I'm so into that right now.
I did one practice once where, like, so I was heavy into meditation. I was meditating up to like 45 minutes a day. So I was in a really good frame of mind. And like spiritually, I felt like I was in a very good place. And yeah, I got into manifesting stuff, reading all these different, you know, techniques, whatnot. And one day, and I was doing all these YouTube things, you know, listening to, these guided meditations on how to manifest, blah, blah, blah. Positive of everything, man. And then one day I was like, right, I'm just gonna scrap all that and just go into a 10-minute meditation. And I think like 10 minutes before I did this, I bought, so this is the web, there's a website called like Guitar Gear Giveaway, and I went on there and
spent so much money on it.
Yeah, this is the first time I ever went on it, mate. I spent probably £9. I bought 3 tickets because 3 is my favorite number. And then after I made the purchase, I went into a 10-minute meditation. So I'd done some deep breathing, just got into myself into a good place. And then I just visualized it. I visualized me winning. And it was like a whole studio setup, like half the stuff that I use now, including a MacBook, speakers. And it was like £2,000 worth of stuff. And I went into this meditation, you know, I closed my eyes and I just visualized it. And what, you know, the key to it is to feel it, just, and like to know it's yours. So I was in this meditation where I won the stuff. I was there. It was like a movie. I was playing a movie in my head. I smelt the packaging. I could feel, you know, the nice, smooth, brand new Mac, and I could smell all the new smells. I was just there, and I just felt really good. I felt great. And you know, I visualize, I was living at home with my mum at the time, but just going downstairs and be like, oh, mum, like, I can't believe it. I've won all this stuff, you know. All it took me, mate, was 10 minutes. And then I just finished this meditation and I said in my head, and it's done. And then I completely forgot about it. And then about 3 weeks later, someone messaged me and said, dude, is that you that's just won all that stuff? I was like, no way. And I opened it and saw the message. Yep, my name was there, and mate, I'd won it, which was absolutely crazy. So yeah, man, this, that's incredible. In my opinion, it's the only time I've really given it some effort, which was zero effort at all. It took me 10 minutes. But yeah, man, like the one time, and I said to myself before I got into this meditation, I said, if this works, this is genuine proof to myself. You know, I don't need to prove it to anyone. This is proof to myself that this works. And it fucking worked, dude. It was crazy.
I think that's awesome. Were you kind of going through any changes at the time relating to your music career? Were you kind of thinking, do you know what? I wish I could do this from home. Like, give me a sign that I'm on the right path or anything like that. Or was it purely you just wanted this equipment?
Massively. And the synchronicities were crazy. And like, so many things were happening in my life that I was just like, what is going on right now? But yeah, I was in. So I made a YouTube video at the time. So I'd kind of hit rock bottom. I'd been, you know, with my ex, we were together for like 9 years or something. I had to move back home with my mom. Like, things just weren't going my way. I was working a job that I absolutely hated. And then I made a YouTube video. I think it's still on YouTube. It was titled On a Mission to Become a Full-Time Musician. And I made it, put it up, and then got into the spirituality stuff. And then, yeah, dude, like, it's what? Not even a year down the line, I was working full-time as a musician. It just kind of just happened. It's like, you know, I put it out there in the universe and it just come back to me. It's all about, yeah, your mindset and, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's nuts, dude.
I believe that like 100%. I've had it recently where I did, like last year, everything that could go wrong was going wrong. I was in a relationship, like my mum was in hospital and we got told she wasn't going to make it. She did make it. You know, like everything, it was crazy. Like everything was just hitting me, like got made redundant. And I was in such a low place. I did nothing like really creative. Music was going downhill. And then this year, kind of November, December, it started. I was like, I'm going to be more spiritual. I'm going to focus more on my spirituality. And through doing that, I befriended, there's a shop in town called The Witch's Cauldron. They do reflexology, tarot, Reiki. I've had Reiki done, which is amazing. Became friends with them. And then I met another girl just at a work, an NHS thing I did, like a think tank. Turns out she was quite spiritual. And everything's kind of drew me to where I am. And I've been thinking, like, the last few days, like, what is writing for me? Is writing and being creative for me? And I've been saying to the universe, I need you to, because I've been made redundant again from a job. I started a new part-time job in just doing like 20 hours a week to back up the book stuff. Last year, I got made redundant last month from that. And I've just been saying to the universe, like, give me a sign or give me some money, give me a handout, like, let me win something to prove that I'm on the right path, that I'm supposed to be doing this. And I went to a tarot reading at this girl Claire's house on Monday night and pulled my cards. And she said, right, something big is going to happen for you. You're on the right path. You need to believe in yourself and you need to go after your dreams. And, you know, something's going to happen. Something's going to come along and it's going to be a gift. And, you know, it's going to show you on the right path. So it kind of motivated me and that happened. And the next day I went online and I saw a post, you know, this guy, spiritual medium, is looking for a ghostwriter for his next book. And I just sent him a message and he's responded. And we've had a phone call today and it looks like I might pick up some work, just ghostwriting work, which is really good money for just from doing all of that. But I've attracted that in from having that belief and asking for that sign. And this stuff works. People don't believe it, but this stuff genuinely works. And we don't always get what we want. You know, it might be we want a record deal or we want one of our songs to get picked up by a big publisher or put in a film. We don't always get what we want. Sometimes we get what we need. Kind of like with the music equipment, that was what you needed in life.
Exactly.
You may have wanted like this multi-million pound deal or something huge to happen with a song, but the universe gave you exactly what you needed at that point. And I feel that's the same thing that's happened with me. I'm not going to just be given a handout. I'm supposed to work for it. And That's exactly what I'm going to do.
That's right, man. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sorry that, you know, you got made redundant and stuff, but these things, as cheesy as it sounds, these things happen for a reason. You know, you're letting go of that past life and it's making way for a new pathway for these greater things to come. You know, at the time when you're in that situation, you're like, oh, why is everything going wrong? But yeah, man, like, stick at it. Keep with that positive mindset and stuff, and it's just opening doors for new things, isn't it?
I agree with that. You know, we've been, you know, blessed with a gift. You know, you've got your gift musically with your vocals, songwriting, and everything that you're doing. And we've been given that gift, and I think it would be a crime not to pursue it. You know, like, what? Why do we have this gift? What are we supposed to do with it? I don't think we're supposed to work, I say 40 hours a week, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. It's not even that anymore. It's, you know, 8 to 6 these days, or 8 to 7, 50 hours a week, or 48.5. I don't think that's our purpose on this planet. You know, our purpose is so much bigger than that. And these things with bills and the cost of living, that they take everyone away from pursuing their true purpose on Earth. And it's what, I could go into this in huge detail, but there is a lot going on with control and manipulation by the governments and powers at the moment, and they want to keep you down in that slavery system. They don't want you to break free, and it's so hard to do that. You know, it's so hard. We're supposed to be doing this with our lives, and we can't get distracted by, you know, by these 9 to 5s and minimum wage jobs.
Everyone obviously has very varied opinions on that kind of thing, but I couldn't agree more with you that it's this system, that the rat race that people are trapped in, and to me personally, yeah, it's the most depressing thing ever, like, just working 40, 50 hours a week just to just scrape by and pay your bills.
You'll never win. You'll never win doing it. You'll never get away from where you are. You'll never own a home doing it. You know, you'll always be renting, struggling to eat, not being able to go out much, and you'll be miserable your whole life. That's not why we're on this planet. I don't know exactly why we're on the planet. I know it's not that.
So moving back to ghosts and the paranormal, so have you ever participated in any paranormal investigations or experiments throughout your life?
I have done a few. So I remember being a kid going to college, and we experimented with some Ouija board stuff, which...
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I was only a kid back then. I must have been, 16 years old? And I remember just a whole load of negativity coming into my life. I just changed as a person after. And we did it a fair bit. We were doing it in woods. We were doing it at parties. And I just remember I couldn't describe in particular an event that happened back then, because it's so long ago. But yeah, I remember it being a really negative experience. And I've done ghost hunts. I did a ghost hunt at West Wickham Caves, an overnight one, which is supposed to be quite haunted. And that was interesting. There were stones being thrown. We had all the gear at the time. You know, we did it officially. We paid for it. All the gear at the time, the electronic stuff, and they were calling out names and trying to communicate with the spirits. And that was quite an interesting one as well. I didn't feel the negativity that I felt from doing the Ouija boards back in the day, but I definitely felt there was something there.
Going back to the Ouija board stuff, did you do that properly as well? Like, did you close the session properly? You know, they say smash the glass or whatever.
No, we are complete amateurs. It's on bits of paper with a shot glass, and we did not know what we were doing. Looking back on it now, and I think that the story, our particular ghost story I'll come to in a bit, that was a big experience that involved someone else doing that, but we had no clue what we were doing. We were not educated. I think we'd watched a lot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and a lot of horror films, and we just got influenced by that and thought we'd try it out. And the more you do it, the more addictive it becomes, the more answers you want. But there are just doorways you should not open.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've spoke to what's coming up to 50 people now on this podcast, man, from, you know, people like yourselves, just people that have an interest in this thing, all the way to experts in the paranormal field. And the general consensus is, do not mess around with that stuff. You know, unless you're with a professional that really does know what they're doing, then yeah, this stuff really ain't to be messed with. And yeah, so many just weird, crazy things can happen in your life, and you can really open that realm of negativity, which will just could potentially follow you around forever. Or, you know, especially if you're doing it in your house, man, you're just inviting some dodgy entity to like ruin your life.
I'd agree with that 100%. We don't know. We still don't know what it is. You know, there are so many documented cases, you know, go back to the Exorcist, of demonic possession out there. You do not know what you're opening yourself up to with this kind of stuff. And I believe 100% there is negative entities out there that do kind of latch onto us when we let them, and it absolutely can destroy lives.
So, man, please feel free to tell us some of your experiences that you've had throughout your life.
So I'll start with this one. This involves a bit of a sad story. So there is a bit of tragedy in this story. But it happened so long ago, I'm kind of over it. So it's not one of those, you know, feel sorry for me stories. But I had a friend called Abby, kind of like a soulmate. And this is going back to 2004, 2005. We were young. And she used to have these parties at a house, a place called Sea Green. And, you know, there'd be messy parties. It's a big house, a big old house. Abby had issues as well, but this girl was like my soulmate. You know, we connected and had the best discussions in the world. But she started to mess around with Ouija boards at these parties by herself. I mean, I'd done it before, you know, a few years previously, so I was over it by that point, so I didn't get involved. But she had started to mess around with these things, and you could tell it was like interfering with her life. There was some kind of major stuff going on in her life. She was changing as a person, and it was really weird. But it was her family house. I used to go there, you know, as one of his best friends. You know the family, you stay over a lot of the time. And there was one night I was over in the spare room staying over. And, you know, it was all the time she was doing the Ouija board stuff and I was asleep. And I felt like a disturbance at night. I just felt really uncomfortable. And I can still picture this to this day. And I opened my eyes and I sat up, and directly in front, I'm going like pale thinking about this still, directly in front of me was a spirit girl, it's the best way I can describe it, with red wavy hair and the whitest face I've ever seen in my life. It was like, I've never been that afraid in my life. That was, I can't even describe the terror. I don't know whether this thing was attacking me, what it was doing, but it was, you know, that close to me. And I couldn't even tell you how long this lasted. It could have been 5 seconds. It could have been 5 minutes. You know, it's one of those where time stood still, and I can still picture that face, that spirit girl's face in my mind. That I you know, I couldn't, it was one of them, I was so disturbed I had to get out of the bed and go into another room and go see Abby. And it just stayed with me for a few weeks. But 2 weeks after that, Abby hung herself in the woods locally. So I look back on that, and was that a negative entity in the house? Was it warning me? Was it trying to tell me something was going to happen? Like, what was it? Why did it happen? I've looked back on that. I've wondered why it happened. Was it something she brought into the house by doing that wished harm on me? Or was it something trying to tell me that, you know, she was going to do something? Was it the spirit of a girl that had, I don't know, you know, I've been looking for answers ever since. And I've just never had those answers, but I will never ever forget that experience.
Wow, man, like, yeah, that's so heavy, right? And you must carry that with you. You will carry that with you for the rest of your life, where you're like, you just want an answer. You want to know why you saw that figure. You know, was it a warning? Was it something, someone trying to tell you something? Was it, you know, like we're talking about, was something in the house that was affecting her?
Yeah,
dude. And yeah,
no, it's like that. I couldn't tell you what it, the reasoning behind it. It gets to me. I think about it a lot. It's one of those things I think about so much, and I know it happened. Some people, they question if something happened, don't they? It's one of those, I know 100% this experience happened. And yeah, I will never ever get over that. But on a positive, I've always felt, since Abby went, I've had someone there watching over me. there's always been, and this has come up in readings I've done. You know, I've gone to like mediums before, you know, gone to medium church, and there was one I walked out to go to the toilet, and I walked back in, and everyone was staring at me. Like, everyone was staring at me. And apparently the medium, she told me that someone had gone out, walked out the door, and followed me, a spirit followed me, and followed me back in. And she said it was a girl, the name is A, and she's doing that. And there was no way anyone would know, because I switched my Facebook over a few years ago to a more positive one, so I lost all my history. There's no way anyone could look that up. And this spirit medium said, you know, she's with you. This girl is following you around. She's guiding you.
Have you ever thought about asking a medium about, you know, potentially contacting Abby and asking about this situation? Like, did something similar happen to her? Did she see something like that? I don't know. Do you think?
I don't know. Kind of like, for now, I like to just kind of try and let that go, what happened, and not delve back into it. That's, you know, that is history. I still question it, but I, in terms of speaking to a medium, I was dragged along by someone that night when I went. I don't know if I want to open up that gateway again. I don't know. You know, I lost my stepdad back in 2012 now. And it's one of those things, I could have gone to a medium or done something. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to open up the doorway. I don't want to hear they've gone from this world. I need to let go. Someday it's going to be my time, and then I'm going to find all the answers, is the way I'm looking at it now. It's questions that, you know, I'd love to just magically know. I just don't want to open myself up to that.
I don't blame you, man. You know, yeah. I mean, let alone, you know, opening that stuff up and, you know, creating some trauma for you. You know, it's heavy, and you've got your own life, and it's about moving forward, right? And focusing on the positive and making your life better rather than living in the past. Yeah, sensible, man. So yeah, what other stories do you have for us, dude?
Well, I've got another one. So I lived in High Wycombe. I'm sure you've been there for a gig.
That's where we met.
So you know the area. That is haunted. Yeah, that's a renowned haunted town. We lived on this place called Hamilton Road, which was a huge hill in High Wycombe, and it was me, Ben, Crispy, Dave, Martin. Two of those guys are dead now from that house. Two of those guys are dead, like my age. Dave got killed in a hit and run. Martin got done by a stroke, but which is crazy for five friends, for two of them to be gone at this stage in their lives is mad. But we used to have the most amazing Halloween parties. Like, we would go all out on these Halloween parties. There'd be shots, there'd be decorations, scary music. We'd invite so many people over. These things were legendary. On this one particular Halloween party, and this house was big, you know, it was a big hallway. This one particular party, Chris decided he was going to draw a big pentagram on the floor, and it's a wooden floor, and he used tape. I think he'd watched Supernatural or something, so he wanted to do this huge pentagram. So he did it all in tape on this floor, and we left it there for the party. But a couple of days later, when we got around to tidying it, we pulled it up, but it pulled up all the dust on the tape. So we had this giant pentagram like in the
hallway. Dude, the exact same thing happened to one of my houses. My housemate did the exact same thing, and it took up all the paint. So there was just this bloody pentagram all in the middle of the kitchen. Yeah, so I can visualize it.
I think it brought negativity. Yeah, it brought so much. Everything changed in the house from there. So people were coming into the house. Like, we partied a lot in that house again when we were young. It was a very musical house. There was a lot of parties there. But people would come in, and as soon as they walked in the door, they'd be like, something's not right in this house. You know, there's a girl that came over and she said, I feel like I want to stab somebody. And there is a really dark energy in this house. And I'd be upstairs, and at nighttime, I could swear I would hear songs, like, sung by children or something. I would hear these songs in the house. I'd feel like negative energy in there. Everyone was feeling this energy, and that stayed with us until we moved out of that house. We just could not shift it. And whilst we never, Holly, I don't know if you ever met Holly, my girlfriend at the time.
I don't think so.
I don't know if you ever met her. But she swore she saw something in that house run across, like a spirit run across the doorway once, when it all happened. And it was just after doing that whole pentagram, I don't know what it was. There was a very dark energy in there. I felt like we'd attracted something in that we shouldn't have. And people have always told me, even with, you know, like DVDs, even with horror DVDs, horror films, posters, these act as kind of magnets for negative energy sometimes. And you can bring stuff in purely by watching horror films or having posters on your wall or the wrong symbols.
Crazy, man. So yeah, like I said, the same thing happened to us. Well, there was a pentagram on the floor, but I don't feel like anything came from that. So I feel very lucky and grateful for that. But yeah, dude, like, what do you think happened? How do you think you summoned some kind of dark entity that night? Or
I think we had. I mean, Dave, who sadly is no longer here anyway, he was a dark force himself. So his birthday was on Halloween. He was into his metal music, so there's a lot of kind of metal music being played. He had like skulls, badger skull. He'd carry around a badger skull with him. A lovely guy, but I feel like between that symbol and that kind of negative energy that was in there, I definitely feel like we attracted something. It was a really old house. Whether something had happened in that house that we've kind of just opened up, or what, I will never know. And like I said, I never physically saw anything, but you could feel it. You could feel it when you walk through the door. From going from outside into that hallway, you could feel that energy in the house. So I think, I know we kind of attracted something in there for sure.
I bet you were glad to, the last time you shut that door and walked away.
I was so happy. And I went after that, I went back to my mum's for a bit, because it was, you know, my dad died at, stepdad died at that time. So we're going back to 2012. This is another weird thing. So my stepdad had pancreatic cancer. So I look back on him with positivity again. But I was in that house I was in bed with Holly. And it was I remember this, 27th of October. So it was close to Halloween. We were due to have our next party. And I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I said to Holly, like, dad's died tonight. He's died. And next 7 o'clock, there's a knock on the door. And it was my sister saying, dad died this morning. So it's like I picked up on that. And then I went to stay with my mum for a bit after that. And I remember that was about the time I was really kind of getting over the whole party thing and you know, not doing much with my life, to getting into music and doing a lot more writing and gigging and positivity. And I remember being sat at a desk and I was just like a little bit lost. And I felt something around my, whether it was wings or arms, I felt something comforting me in the most like positive way, like just such a positive energy surrounding me. And in that moment, I felt such a weight off my shoulders. And it's kind of a life-changing moment. But, you know, going from that negative force at the old place to what I felt then was so different. It was such a weird experience. But again, it happened. You know, it's one of those things that 100% that happened. I felt that around me. I didn't imagine it.
Your ghost story.
Mate, it sounds like you've had some crazy experiences throughout your life, and by the sounds of it, you've got plenty more to tell me. So rather than get them all out on this episode, I'd love to get you back on another episode so we can, you know, do a part two and smash out some more of your stories. Have you got more stories to tell?
I've got more. I've got so much. I mean, we can touch more on a spirituality as well. You know, I can see what we can manifest over the next few. I picked up a, hold on, before time runs out. I just got this book. I don't know if you've heard of this. Kybalion.
I've not, no.
Which is all about kind of manifestation and stuff like that and bringing positive stuff into your life. So I'm going to be reading that over the next few weeks. And, you know, we can definitely go more into a spirituality stuff as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I say, man, you've been an amazing guest. And I think we've had a really good conversation. And I'd absolutely love to get you back for a part two, like over the next few weeks. Yeah, read this book and we can chat about it and dive deeper into some more of your stories as well. I'd love that.
Amazing. Let's do it.
All right, mate. So just for our listeners, where can they come find you if they want to just learn more about yourself or your books?
This always gets me in trouble. Just look me up on Facebook. Well, tell people, add me on Facebook. Damien Carruthers. I've also just set or in process of getting my business website up and running, which is WYOS Media, W-Y-O-S Media, which stands for Write Your Own Story Media. So I'll be helping authors and musicians along their journey and kind of promoting my own book through that as well. So those are the two ways. But I honestly don't mind people contacting me on Facebook.
Awesome, mate. So yeah, I'll put those links in the description of this podcast. So yeah, anyone can check that out. All right, mate. Well, it's been really good to chat to you. Awesome. And we'll catch up in a few weeks.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you so much for your time.